Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray for your protection, for your provisions, for your help, Father, and your guidance in everything we do, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for being our God. And we just magnify you, Lord, every chance we can to glorify you, because we can't do anything without you. We can't do nothing without you, Lord. We have to have you, and we praise you for being our God. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you are our God. And we praise you, Lord, that you're going to lead us tonight. Show us what you want us to talk about as we talk about the latter part of the parable of the sower, Lord. Open up new avenues for us to see more into this revelation of the parable of the sower, and much more too, Lord, as we go through tonight. And we thank you for leading us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, CC, you want to go ahead and identify yourself? Well, I'm going to remove you, and if you want to be a part of this fellowship, you have to identify yourself. So, good night. You can get in contact with me by email, go to UBM site, and talk to me. Otherwise, I'm going to have to remove you. All right. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Listen, the reason I did that is David's gotten an email from him, and he won't identify himself. And he's been here for the last couple of weeks, I guess. And still, I've asked him two or three times or four or five times to identify himself, and he never has, for whatever reason. So instead of letting some faction guy get on here and take what we say out of context, it's best that we go ahead and just remove them. Okay. Yeah, Joe.
Oh, no. Were you going to ask prayer requests and testimonies and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got one work related. We got a new union contract coming up. You know, I mean, this is the first union I've ever actually been in. You know, I mean, I've been with a couple union companies, never been part of the union. So I'm totally new to the whole process of negotiations and all that stuff. And I guess this next Monday is a proposal meeting. I guess, you know, what I heard, we're going to meet at the union office after work and discuss what we want, you know, in this new August. This month is when the current contract is up, and so I guess the negotiations are going to be at the end of the month, I believe. But yeah, this coming week. And you know, let's go ahead and pray about that, or just the whole process. I mean, I already sense, I mean, just the overall attitude, like I said before, there's just a lot of corruption, a lot of messed up stuff that happens where I work. And I sent you a text yesterday, Michael. I don't know if you got it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Regarding, because I remember when I first started, about a year and a half ago, the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. spoke to me, and one of the major strongholds in that area, in that place there, was alcoholic patterns. I'm not too sure how familiar everyone is with alcoholism, addictions, different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you look at the place, and I guess even the whole area of town there, I mean, it's just a lot of, I mean, it looks like a lot of poverty. You know, we are across the street from a little motel, and there's, you know, a lot of drugs and just a lot of different stuff there. So, I mean, it's just, it really reflects the overall atmosphere and the attitude of where I work. And, you know, a lot of people who struggle with alcoholism or who have. But yeah, I mean, let's come against that, I guess, most of all. But or, I mean, you know, whatever else would interfere, and let's pray for a fair process at least. You know, I mean, whatever the Lord would have, you know, to, because I mean, I already know. I mean, there's some who would want to sabotage the whole thing, say, no, this is what you're going to get, and there's no negotiation, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, so let's just, I'd like prayer for that, just a, you know, a fair and unhindered process to, you know, negotiate something that'll benefit everybody. So,
okay, you want to pray since you're more
familiar,
knowledgeable about what's going on.
Okay, sure, yeah.
And yeah, we'll believe with you.
Okay, sounds good. Father God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for just the, you know, just the experiences I've had where I work, Lord. Just the trials and the tribulations. I see now that, you know, to, you know, perfect me. Yeah, I mean, it has been a very trying work environment I've been in, the most trying I've ever had. And Lord, I know with this new contract coming up at the end of the month, the negotiations, I already sense, and I know everyone else does who work there. I mean, it's a very small business, so I mean, it's easy to get everybody's opinion and understanding. And I just ask, Lord God, is it, you would just, you know, you would keep the enemy from having their way in this whole process. I mean, I can already name out a couple people who, Lord, and you know them better than I do. You know, there might be some people I don't know that would want to sabotage this whole thing and just kind of, you know, I mean, cause, you know, basically try to screw other people, you know, is what I'm saying. Lord, you know the ones who have their own little agendas and they're not for the good of everybody. And we ask that if needed, Lord, would you expose these people, you know, so everyone sees, so they can't do what they want to do to, you know, to not benefit everybody. You know, Lord, I ask that you would just, most of all, have your way in this process. I bind all faction, any, you know, division. I mean, any spirits that would cause this whole process, Lord God, to just not go the way that you would want it to go, you know, to where it'd be fair for everybody, that the rules, you know, that the whole contract would be fair for everybody and would benefit everyone as a employee, you know, within the union. Lord God, I pray that you'd have your way, you know, help me to be, you know, I mean, to do what I need to do, you know, give me wisdom, give everybody negotiating, you know, with the company and with the union, you know, wisdom, understanding on what's best for everybody, Lord God. You know, I mean, you can do that for those who are not your children, you know, so we ask for wisdom and guidance and understanding. And, but just most of all, Lord, that those who would want to sabotage this, those who would want to, you know, have their own selfish agendas, like, you know, it's all about me, you know, I don't care about anybody else and what they want, you know, Lord, that you would just kind of, you know, you'd put confusion and just, you know, into the camp of the enemy there, that they cannot operate effectively. You know, we just ask that, Lord God, you would just cause total disarray and chaos in the camp of the enemy. That would work in that area. You know, I thank you for what you're going to do in this area, and just I thank you for what you've done so far where I work, and I pray that you continue to work, Lord God, continue to just heal hearts, heal the past wounds, you know, from the divisions that have been caused, from the past hurts, you know, the past disagreements, all those things, and Lord, continue to work in where I work at. Continue to work on me, help me to continue to be obedient to the trials and the testings that come my way, and I thank you for it, and I thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for putting peace in that company.
Yeah.
Amen, Lord. I don't know a whole lot about unions and negotiations and that thing, because down here we're right to work.
Yeah.
And I've only had to deal with unions one time, and when I walked in the plant, they asked me if I would join the union. I said, no, I said, I can talk for myself. I don't need somebody else to talk for me. And I was a pagan then, you know, I didn't have any real, I'll be honest with you. I don't need somebody else to speak for me when I go for a job. And I know some people like that collective bargaining, they call it. But I've seen a lot of corruption on the union side here in the past history. I wouldn't have nothing to do with them. But, you know, y'all know more about that than I do, because some of you up there are in unions and deal with them daily. So that's just my take on it down here, down south. Most of the states down here are right to work. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's just my take on it. If that's required up there, you pray just like you did. You pray peace in that company. Anybody want to comment on these unions, or how to deal with them, or how we're supposed to deal with them?
How are we?
I guess it's a heart thing. It's whatever you think. Go ahead, Tim.
I was a union member for a long time, and there's a lot of code put in my work environment as far as unfair discipline from the company. They kept that in check, and they're without the union, there wouldn't have been that benefit. And I did some court reporting in the past with the National Labor Relations Board, and I sat in on one hearing where the employer was totally corrupt, and he was going to be falsified records, and he wanted to fire these pipe fitters for work that they hadn't done. He took x-rays that somebody else did, showed them to the court, and said that this is the work these guys were doing, and without their right to recognize represented, been fired for no just cause. So early on, I didn't think I had any need for a union. It served me well, I'll just say that. Let it end there.
Amen. Well, all right. Let's see here. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, that's Marla. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to say anything about union work or anything about that? It's not a big deal for me. I don't care. You know, go ahead, David.
Well, you know, I've seen it go like Tim is talking, and I have also seen what Joe's talking. I've seen both ways. I've seen the company go bad, and I've seen it more than once, you know. At the same time, I've seen it where there's a lot of corruption in the union too. Sometimes things are going on you don't really care for. Decisions are made. You're thinking, how could they do that? Why would they do that? People's money. But at the same time, I know that, you know, of some difficulties come in people's lives, sometimes that's generated by the Lord too. And if you're a Christian, he's trying to use it to put your flesh on that cross to get rid of it. You know, he wants to get something out of you that he doesn't like. So it doesn't matter if you got a union behind you. If he wants something done, it's not going to work to your advantage even to be in the union, because he's going to make sure that he gets his discipline and his correction. And even if it's not fair, and it's totally not fair, he's going to go through with it and make sure that it goes his way. And our job is not to have any past feelings that are to hold any unforgiveness. No matter if somebody took advantage of you or whatever the situation was, and they were totally wrong, it was totally evil, we still have to forgive and let it go. Because that's what you see a lot with going on with union and companies. There's always that antagonism. There's a fight going on one way or the other. There's an argument or dispute. And I've seen a lot of people that are in the union. I've seen some Christian brothers and sisters in union, and they get carried away in that too. And it becomes somewhat of a factious spirit on them because they're around a lot of people that aren't Christians, and they get exposed to that, and it doesn't work good for their spirits either. So, you know, you're getting involved with the world in a lot of ways with the union and the companies. We're in the world and we got no choice. We gotta be part of that stuff. We just gotta at the same time realize God's in control of all this stuff, no matter how terrible and how corrupt it is. You know, he allows that stuff. He allows it for people to fall that are gonna fall and go in the wrong direction they shouldn't be going, and make those decisions to prove what they are, their spirits are like. Either they're gonna change and see their corruption and get away from it, or else they're going to be part of the world and they're going to run the way the world runs. Like I said, if our job as Christians is try not to get too wrapped up in this, to keep a level head, as much as we see it being wrong or right in both ends, not to have any judgment against others for that, it's hard, especially if you hear things and you get an opinion of bad things about, well, this person did that. Automatically, it's you're hearing that gossip and that faction, and you're forming an opinion, and all of a sudden you got these feelings about people who don't even really know that well, and you're becoming part of that factious spirit. So that's the danger of all this too. You know, you're around all this talk. So my suggestion is for anybody that's got experiences with this is forgive, let it go. Don't look at anybody with those glasses. I mean, if somebody's not saved, we can't judge them. If they are saved, well, if they're not in our fellowship, how can we judge them? I mean, we can't. We can maybe talk to a brother or a sister and give them a little warning and correction, but it's not like we can go up and really take them to task if they're not in our fellowship. If they're in our fellowship, that's a whole different story. I mean, if they're an outward sin, well, we got to do something about it. But if not immediate fellowship, there's really not a lot we can do other than just, you know, try to be a witness and be a good fellow brother and sister the best way we can to help them through things. But at the same time, if they're not on the same playing field we're on, we can't expect them to try to follow what we do and be obedient to the word as much as we're trying to be, because maybe they're not in that same kind of fellowship where they don't have that teaching. They don't have that where there's apostate essentially. So that's just my thoughts on all this.
I'll tell you what, George just put up a scriptures that says it all. Who's our negotiator? Who's our negotiator? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's who our negotiator is. And we don't have to rely on the union. We don't have to rely even on the companies. All we have to rely on and keep our eyes focused on is the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about what a union does. You can do like Andrew did. Just go on, keep on working, for goodness sake. Or anybody else that does that. If you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't make any difference what the union does, what the company does, because God's going to take care of you if you're righteous. If you want to get in a factious fight with a company or as a company man get in a factious fight with the union, that's wrong. It makes no difference who it is or what it is. We rely on the Lord, God Almighty. We don't have to rely on the unions to do or to say whatever it is that we need. If you went to work for somebody for a certain price, just like the parable, then you work and you do your job just like they want you to, and then bless God, you're okay. You're fine. And it don't make any difference if somebody comes in there doing the same job and they give them more money. It don't make any difference. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll make it right. He'll make it right. It makes no difference whether the company or the union, both of them are wrong most of the time, you know. But I'm just saying, our negotiator is the Lord. It's not a union representative or it's not the company. We don't have to rely on either one of them. And if you've got your eyes focused on the Lord, he'll take care of whatever it is that you need. Amen. That's just my take on it. And that Psalms chapter 9 is a good representative. That I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy are come to an end. They are desolate forever. And the cities which thou hast overthrown, the very remembrance of them is perished, but the Lord sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. And the Lord also will be a high tower for the oppressed, a high tower in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. For he that makes inquisition for blood remembers them. He forgets not the cry of the poor. You hear that? Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Behold my affliction which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifts me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion I will rejoice in thy salvation. The nations are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. In other words, they get caught in their own schemes. The Lord hath made himself known. He hath executed judgment. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned back unto Sheol, even all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the expectation of the poor perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know themselves to be but men and not God. I added that on there because God is on the throne and he ain't coming off for a union, a company, or anything else. Praise God. He's the one that directs our prayer. He's the one that walks for us and talks for us. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that's on the right and on the left and behind us. Praise God. We don't have to worry about it, folks. We don't have to worry about negotiation time. God's our negotiator. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I could preach. That's a preaching psalm there, man. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody want to comment? Well, okay. Anybody else with a testimony? Thank you, Joe, for bringing that up, brother.
Well, one last thing. I just, you know, what Dave, you said was right. Yeah, I struggle every day with that faction. I mean, I want to confess lately I've been getting involved in it a little more and I'm finding myself getting sucked back into it. So just please pray for me, everybody. It's a struggle.
All right. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for putting a watch before his lips that he doesn't say that I get caught up in that anymore, that I am an overcomer. And bless God, I have the faith to believe that I ain't got to put up with that mess anymore. And I thank you, Lord, that Joe is your greatest overcomer from this point on. And I praise you, Father, that you've given him bold faith to believe that you're doing that work in him. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're his reunion representative. You're his store, shop man. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that Joe is an overcomer. And, Lord, I thank you that you're going to put it in his heart to start speaking that to you, because he is. He's not a stumbler. He's an overcomer in Jesus' name. He's not a backslider. He's an overcomer in the name of Jesus. He's not double-minded. He's an overcomer in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree that in the name of Jesus. Amen, Joe.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Leon. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Best. Friend of mine who's got a nephew who's 15, and this is the second time a tumor turned on his brain. They operated, wasn't malignant, but it was a few years ago, and it's returned and just keeps growing. So I don't know why they can't remove it. That they're giving some kind of radiation treatment for it to stop the growth. And she's really asking for prayer. I totally be praying for him. His name is Aaron.
His name is Aaron?
And the family is a Christian family.
Okay, is his parents Christian?
Yes.
Are they believers? Do they believe in healing?
No, I think they're more like Bible church people that don't believe.
Then you tell her we're going to pray the prayer of faith for Aaron, and that tumor is gone. In the name of Jesus, we command that tumor out of that 15-year-old boy's head right now. In Jesus' name, we command it to shrink in the name of Jesus right now. We command it to be a witness to the people around him that it is God that healed him and not some doctor that cuts his head open and tries to cut it out. And Father, we thank you that tumor is gone, that boy is healed, and you're going to bring him to Jesus in a mighty way, and that boy is going to be a witness to his parents and the people around him. Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo, my. That boy, Aaron, is fixing to see something he ain't never seen before. He's going to see God work, and I can see that. Y'all look in your mind's eye, because you can see that tumor dying out right now in Jesus' name. It is shrunk down to nothing. It's gone in Jesus' name. We command it to be gone by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we praise you, Father, that Aaron is healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I feel a power of God going after that boy right now. That boy is healed. Y'all believe that?
Yes. I believe
Amen. It. Thank you, Jesus. I do too. Glory. Hallelujah. You tell his mama when she calls back and talks to her, you say, well, he's healed. Don't even hesitate. That boy's healed. You watch what happens. I guarantee you that boy's healed. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Ooh, my. Okay, anybody else need prayer, would like to give a testimony or praise or whatever? I think it's going to be an unusual night. Thank you, Jesus.
Unusual is fun. Can I give my testimony real quick, Mike?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
Hey, family. God bless you guys. I just wanted to tell you real quick, you guys had prayed for my arm. And it was really quickly, it wasn't a big ordeal, but for some reason my arm had been hurting for about 3 weeks, and it was kind of affecting my job. I'm a chemist, so it would really be bad if my arm gave out and I dropped some wild chemicals. That would probably not be good. But you guys prayed for my arm in the last meeting, and it is completely pain-free, 100% healed. Praise God. So, glory to God. Isn't that awesome? So thanks, guys. God bless you.
All right. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are the healer. You're our healer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Hey, Barbara. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you pray for Bruce?
Okay.
He's doing chemo, right?
Yeah.
And I'm praying for more faith and trying not to go by what I see. The chemo's not doing very well for him, but I can't make him have faith. I minister to him, but I can't make him have faith. Mm-hmm. So could you just keep him in prayer and pray for him? And
okay. Yeah. Now, whatever I pray, I'm what it's going to be from the Holy Spirit. And whatever I pray, Barbara, we're going to believe, okay? We're not going to back up. We're going to kick back, and we're going to rest in the knowledge that God's in control, okay?
Okay.
You agree with that?
I do.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for taking Bruce to that place to where the only one he can depend on is you, Lord. I thank you for that, Father, because I know when he gets to that point and the doctors throw up the hands, that Bruce is going to come to you in a mighty way, and he's going to be a testimony to those doctors who's in charge of his healing. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that as soon as he does that, he's going to be at the weakest point in his whole wide life, his world, and he's going to be able to say, Well, the doctors can't do it. I can't do it. Barbara can't do it. There ain't but one left that can help me, and that's Jesus. And Father, I thank you when he gets to that point and he says, Jesus, help me, that at that instant, Lord, that your mighty power goes through his body like a whirlwind. And it captures that, it takes that cancer, and it takes it captive and throws it out of him in the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
In the fear of cancer and the fear of man. And Father, I thank you for it, that Bruce is on the road to recovery. He don't know it, but Father, I prayed this prayer of faith for him, and I know that you're going to do a mighty work in Bruce, in Jesus' name. And Bruce, I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to call out to Jesus when you lose all hope, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Everybody here believe that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Agree with me that the Lord will increase my faith.
You know, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said we could ask you anything in your name, and you do it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you give Barbara bold faith to believe that you're working in Bruce's life right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, you said if we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for granting repentance to Bruce, in the name of Jesus, that he'd come running to you, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. At the right time, at the right moment, Lord, so that you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. It's going to be done, girl. You just have to have faith. And don't worry about them doctors. Who's in charge?
God.
Amen. If God's in charge, what do them doctors know? All they know is what their eyes tell them. That's all. They don't know the God that we know.
I always try to encourage him. I told him he needs to rethink this chemo, you know, because he's coming home sick and he's in bed for days. He can't work. Yeah. And I said, well, you need to rethink that. And I'm always telling him that God's his only hope.
No, so, what you need to do, Barbara, what you need to do is quit getting on to him. And get on your knees. That's all you need to do. You need to just be praying for Bruce. Don't worry about what he's doing. If you pray, you'll watch a change. You'll see a change. Don't try to get him to do nothing. Don't try to get him to do. Huh?
He came to me and wanted me to read to him. So, you know, when there's an open door, I'm always ministering.
Amen. Amen. Tell him, let's pray first. Tell him, okay, let's pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you, and you do it this way, Father, I ask that you open up his spiritual eyes and ears to understand what this word is telling you in the name of Jesus, okay? And then get into real good news and read that to
him. He opened that chapter up of healing. he hasn't finished it through, though, but I mean, at least
you do it for him if you have to. Yeah, just help him out. Encourage him. So here's what it says here in this book, Bruce. Looky here, glory be to God. And write, read the testimonies to him too.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about the time that we prayed for that that little girl we call a little bit over in Memphis, didn't we? Remember that? She was a cancer victim. They told her to go home. They just gave up hope on her. She weighed about 75 pounds when we saw her. She'd already gone through all the chemo, and they were killing her then. They said, well, you just go home and die because we can't do any more for you. Mm-hmm. And that's when God stepped in. That's when God stepped in. And we prayed the prayer of faith for her and told that spirit of cancer to leave her and the spirit of the fear of cancer to leave her and the spirit of death to leave her. And we came back in about a month's time, and she'd gained 8 pounds. And when we left her, she couldn't eat nothing but beef and chicken broth. That's all, nothing solid, because she'd throw it up. We came back, she was walking up the driveway with a sack of groceries. She said, I can eat pork chops now. Praise God. So that's the power of God, okay? That's the power of God.
I think I'm dealing with some a spirit of unbelief here.
Okay, that's why you need to be on your knees, praying for your husband.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's just true. You just pray for him. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for putting him through these trials. We praise you, Father, for doing that for us. We thank you, Lord, that Bruce is in these trials because I know the outcome. Praise God. You build your faith up, it'll build his faith up. And when he comes in there mealy-mouthing about his cancer, he said, I don't believe that in the name of Jesus because God's already told me you're going to be healed because that's what the word said.
You know, it's funny because the Lord told him, he early on when he first learned he had cancer, the Lord told him that he was not going to die. And I said, well, that's good. I don't know if he really believes that or what. He said to the Lord, Lord, I can't find you. And he said he felt the Lord speak to him and say, you'll find me in my word.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty plain. I mean, that's pretty, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Is he baptized? He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. He got that here, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Last year in May.
Sometime. I don't remember when it was, but it seemed like
May of last year.
Okay. Does he still speak in tongues?
I don't think he practices it.
Okay. What you might mention to him is, you know, I pray in tongues a lot, and that ups my faith. Maybe you can do that too. Just pray in tongues a lot, you know. Just mention it to him. You don't have to hammer him with it.
I do. Like I do all that you're saying. I do that. And he knows knows my stance. He knows where I stand. He hears me. You know,
he'll
hear me in the room praying in tongues and even crying out to the Lord on occasion. You know, he hears me. He knows. He knows where I stand.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just pray for him. Badger him or anything, you know, just pray for him. That's what God wants you to do.
I think I've been struggling. The thing of it is I think I've been struggling trying not to walk by sight, you know, and walking by faith and calling the things that are not as though they were. And I feel the enemy coming at me a lot. And it even wakes me up in the middle of the night. So I know that's the enemy, you know, trying to get me into fear and it's just pretty, it's hard going through things alone, you know, out here.
Who sends you alone? Who sends you alone, girl? Come on,
now. Who's
that? Who is that sitting there beside you? Who is that sitting there beside you? You've got one of these. You've got one of these, Barbara. You've got one of these.
I talk to him all the time.
The sword of the Lord. When that enemy of unbelief comes on, you said, nope, it is written in your word, Lord. And devil, you listen to me. I ain't got to put up with your unbelief. I'm not going to do it. And you put the word on it. It'll go. Just like that. It'll go, Barbara. You don't have to worry about it.
I have that happen exactly today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Praise God. And you got a bunch of brothers and sisters here that's believing with them. We believe that Bruce is going to come through this with flying colors because the Lord is going to be in this. And your faith, our faith, is going to bring Bruce in. Okay?
Thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you,
I believe it. I believe it, Barbara. And I ain't wavering.
I guess I needed to hear that encouragement.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for giving Barbara a bold faith, Lord, and that her faith and the light that you've put in her, Lord, is going to affect Bruce in a way that he's going to say, this is silly going through all of this mess, because most of the time, the people who go through it at the end is still the same. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to turn him around. He's going to say, Lord, I can't do it no more. The doctors can't do it no more. And I know you can. And I'm asking you to do it right now in Jesus' name. And it's going to happen. Amen. I just know it. So I ain't going to talk no more about it. That's it. Praise God.
Yes.
Bruce is healed. Bruce is healed, Barbara. Just remember that. If he comes in there saying about something about I feel this, I feel that. Well, okay, you might feel it, but you're healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I know you do too. Amen.
Amen.
All right, sister.
Thank you.
Okay, girl. Okay, it says, Dave put up there, Jude chapter 1, verse 20, of course. But you, beloved, keep building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Matthew. Thank you, Barbara.
It's actually me, Michael's Barbara still on?
You did what?
I said it's actually me. Is Barbara still on?
Yeah, she's on.
Okay. I got a verse for you, Barbara. I came across this morning, and I feel like God wants me to read it to you. It's Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." But when I was reading this, I was looking at the footnote earlier, and I just thought this was so awesome because it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." And another translation for "be not dismayed," you know, "do not." Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Good verse. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
I just want to tell her thank you. I couldn't unmute myself quick enough. Thank you, Anna. Oh. I really was blessed by that.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Body ministry. It's wonderful. Okay. Anybody else? You got a testimony or a praise report or would like prayer?
I heard her read that, but what was that she read?
Isaiah 41.
Isaiah 41:10.
Yeah.
I'm going to post it. I usually got to read things.
Amen. All right, anybody else with testimony or praise report or would like prayer, would like to pray about something? Okay, George.
Praise God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I want to praise God. One of my neighbors has got a daughter who's been through a lot of tumors and growths in her eye sockets and weird stuff. And the Lord's healed her every time that I know of. This last time she was going for MRIs, had to take her braces off, and just a young little girl. And I stopped by and prayed with them and gave them a prayer cloth that I got from a buddy of mine that sees a lot of healings. And had it in my wallet, and I gave it to her, and I just, something told me, you know, this is significant. I just released my faith in that it was, I was doing the right thing. And she sent me a message a couple of days ago that she got the MRI and they said it had drastically reduced or shrunk or whatever you want to call it. And they didn't have to do any treatment at all. And, you know, this was a real big deal. And praise the Lord, you know, just there's a lot of people praying and a lot of ways to add our faith to somebody that's in a situation. So I'm in contact and touch with a lot of people that get a lot of healings, and it builds my faith that even if I don't know the people and I see them applying the word and getting results, it builds my faith. And I see, you know, I do the same thing. Even if I copycat something I haven't experienced myself, I eventually, I'm getting results. The Lord actually is getting glory because he paid the price, and we're just getting what he paid for. So it's kind of like being on a battlefield and going and collecting all the spoils of this war. And when we see an opportunity, there's some more for the Lord. So, that's all I got. God bless y'all.
Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. God's doing a wonderful thing nowadays. He's doing a wonderful thing. I got healed. I think I said this Tuesday night. I got healed of deafness in both ears. And it's gradually getting better and better. Every day it gets better and better. Where I used to have the volume all the way up on this program here, I'm cut way back almost half now. Where in fact, the other day I couldn't turn it down, and it was, man, I'm having to take my earbuds out and because it was too loud for me. Praise God. So I just praise God for all he's doing. Yeah, prayer cloths work. I've seen, of course, most of you have. I've seen prayer cloths heal people all across this nation. You know. Praise God. With a bunch of people praying over some cloths and anointing with oil, you don't have to, you know, whatever. Just anoint it with oil, and if your faith goes wherever that cloth is. I remember a testimony about somebody that when Lake left Africa, South Africa, there was a pole right there in the middle of that town. And there was a bunch of people there waiting to get prayed for. And he couldn't pray for them. He had to get on the boat and go come home, you know, with all his kids. I think he had 7 kids back then. And he put them all on the boat. And he was trying to go, and they were wanting to pray for him. He just run over to a pole, and he said, "In the name of Jesus, all who touch this pole and believe from this point on will be healed and delivered in Jesus' name." Over 10,000 people were healed from that pole. And who gets the glory there? John G. Lake, the pole, or Jesus? God gets the glory. Praise God. Ain't no pole can heal anybody. It's the faith. It's the faith that God gives you. Because remember the lady that touched the hem of Jesus' garment? It wasn't Jesus that faith that healed her. It was her faith. If I had faith that a pole was going to heal me and I put my hand on it and I believed it was going to heal me, you better believe I'm going to be healed, because it's your faith. The man of God put his hand on that pole. Jesus is there. I'm going to touch it and God's going to heal me. Over 10,000 of them got healed. Gracious. That's a God we serve. And he's not gone nowhere. He's still there. He's still giving us the same authority as he did John G. Lake, as he did Paul, as he did Peter, as he did all of that first century bunch. The same faith he's given us. He's given us the word. He gave us the authority when he said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, you know, "I've given you power or authority over all the power of the enemy." Praise God. I'm glad he did too. I'm glad he did. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, get off my soapbox. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
No, I got just one last thing to say. I'm encouraged by, well, you're pretty unrelenting tonight, you know, against the enemy. I like that. So I'm encouraged. I kind of came in, or just the last so many days, I felt bogged down or just, to an extent, but you know, the enemy, like Barbara, it sounds like, and I'm sure others probably, you know, it's like the enemy loves to tell us things and try to keep us down. And, you know, I struggle with this or with that, but I feel encouraged. I like how you're just, you're encouraged or you're in high spirits. So that's begun to encourage me a bit. I just wanted to say, I even received some deliverance a little bit there when you were praying for Barbara. And, you know, I know what it looks like. I've received so much in my life, and it's like, I felt encouraged, so just wanted to say that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that word encourages us. That word tells us, you know, that we don't have to put up with the enemy. We don't have to put up with all that nonsense. We don't have to be put up with bondages that we've had in our life, all our life, and didn't know it was a bondage until we came to Jesus. And we see other people that are free and want to be free ourselves. And once we get free, man, glory to God, you're going to fight to keep it. And we have to fight to keep it. Every one of us have to fight every day. A spiritual warfare, like we talked about the other day in Ephesians 6. That's that spiritual armor that we put on. And we do it automatically in the morning. want me to say thank you, Jesus, for being my God. That's all you got to do. Thank you, Lord, that I can depend on you. Thank you, Lord, that you're making my heart look like your heart. And thank you, Lord, that I can walk in your steps too, because you're leading me, and I'm following right behind you, and I'm stepping in them steps that you stepped in. And if I can step in them steps that you stepped in, Lord, I know I have victory. I'm going to have victory because you're my God. And you got to, I have all the blessings of heaven available to me. Praise God. And if I got all the blessings of heaven available to me, as if I've only got one angel following around doing my work for me and protecting me, that's enough. One angel wiped out 185,000 in one setting. He just ping, 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 like that. So, and Jesus told him, he said, you can't do nothing unless God told you you could do it, allowed you to do it. He said, if I wanted to, I could bring 12 legions of God's name. How many people would that kill? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. He could wipe out the world. But he went to the cross for us, to die for us, so we don't have to put up with this mess. He wanted to do that for us. And all we got to do is fight. That's all. With our mouth. With our mouth. That's all. Just confess it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You set me free. And I ain't going to rely on nothing else but that. For he is the Lord. Well, I'm sorry. I'm on fire tonight for some reason. Praise God. Anybody else? Hey, Willie. All right, anybody else got a testimony or praise report? Something else that happened to me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. I was out on my walk, and where I walk is back behind here off of Sunshine Mountain, and I go down and around. I make a big, long circle up and down the hills, and come back, and it's about a 3 mile, 2.5, 3 mile hike in the woods and on a logging road out through there. And sometimes you walk into a spider web. Well, I walked into one of them bit me on my arm, and I don't know what kind it was, but it didn't bother me. I just said I rebuked that in the name of Jesus, because I could feel it, you know, when it bit me, and it started tingling and all that kind of mess. And I said, nope, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And that was it. I didn't have any more trouble with that thing. It itched a little bit. And I scratched it a few times, but that's it. Didn't have any problems out of it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Leon.
I'm sorry I got on late, but I was doing music. Anyway, did you tell him about last night?
No, I didn't feel led to.
Well, that might be why you're fired up.
Well, I don't want to glorify any man. I just let God do all okay. That.
Then never mind.
Well, okay. All right. Anybody got a testimony? Okay, where were we? We was on the last.
You sure that would be a testimony that Leanne was talking about?
What's that?
You're talking, Leanne brought up something last night. You sure that wouldn't be a testimony or no?
No, I didn't bring up anything, Dave. I said, okay. Never mind. Forget I said it.
Good response, Leah. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know nothing. My mouth is shut, brother. I ain't going to say nothing.
Michael, I feel the Lord over and over and over. The Lord's going to ask us, after all that's been taking place here, do you believe? Do you believe? Just saying, do you believe? Yeah. And we're to tell him, yes, we believe.
We believe.
But I just keep hearing, do you believe? And at first I thought, yes, Lord, I believe. But it kept coming so strong, so they feel that everyone should know that he's asking us, everyone.
Yes, we believe, Lord.
Do you believe?
I believe. I believe.
Amen.
I believe that everything, I believe, Debbie, that everything that we prayed tonight, Father, I believe that everything that we prayed tonight is going to happen just exactly like we prayed it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And I know everybody here does too. Listen, Debbie gets some great words from the Lord. And if that's from the Lord, you can believe it's from the Lord. If she says it's from the Lord, it's from the Lord. And I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We have an open heaven, folks. God is talking to us. If you believe, if you believe. How many of you believe? I do.
I do.
I confess it with my mouth. I believe it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, let's see where we were.
Leon had his hand up.
Okay, Leon, go ahead, brother. You just muted yourself. You didn't unmute yourself. You were already unmuted. Yeah, you did.
I just put my hand up to say I believe too.
Oh, okay. be careful.
You're on the last two of Matthew 13, the last two soils.
Amen. Let me ask a few questions here before we get on to this any further. And I guess we should have hit this kind of a little bit. As I got to thinking today about the parable of the sower. What's the seed, y'all? What's the seed itself? You know what a seed is? Anybody a farmer in here other than myself? I know Tim is. George probably would. Yeah. You know what happens to a seed, Tim, when you plant it?
You put the dead seed in the ground and receives warmth and moisture and sprouts. The word of God is what people sow.
But you have to do two things to it, don't you? You have to cover it with dirt, and you have to water it, don't you? Those two things. Then what happens? It's died, it's crucified, and then it's brought back to life. It's resurrected, right? That seed resurrects itself, busts through that old flesh life, comes up as a new man. As a new fruit. That's the fruit. That's what a seed does. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I never thought of it this way before, but what came to me when Tim was saying about watering it, that makes me think of the anointing. It's anointed and it's resurrected.
Amen. That's right. Praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
But what happens if that seed don't hit that healthy soil? If it hits dry ground, it don't get water. And or if it, yeah, go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
I have a quick question though about the seed. When it talks about the seed must die, what is that? What does that mean spiritually?
What?
The seed has to die. The seed has to die.
You know what happens to the outer shell? The outer shell just breaks off. If you've ever watched
that's what
it,
that is. Spark. Okay.
Yeah, that's the death of that seed. It has to die.
No,
so
it's under the dirt. I don't see it. But it's the outer nature is what that represents, and it's the outer nature dies.
You've seen bean sprouts come up, and you still have that shell on the leaf. You ever seen that? You ever seen
I'm giving you a hard time. I remember in science class. Yeah, science class.
I'm sorry, you're city gal. I forgot that.
Oh, no. I grew up on a farm.
Oh, you did? Well, you ought to be able to know that. But anyway, that's what happens.
I was bringing the question out, though, so what that represented is how does the seed die?
That's the death and burial of the old man. Yeah. That's the death of the flesh. The new man comes up, and then after it grows up, it keeps growing because you're watering it with the word. You're growing up, and it's growing up, and then it bears fruit because you keep on watering, and it's in good soil. And then it bears that big, big old bean pod, like about that long, and turns purple. Now you got purple hull peas. Praise the Lord. Then you get you some bacon. You put that purple hull pea in a pan. That's basically what happened. The seed is the message of the kingdom. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what came to my mind when talking about the shell, you know, the outer shell, the seed breaking, what came to me was 2 Corinthians 4:16. Wherefore ye faint not, but though your outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But that outer man, that seed is the outer man. The outer man came, the outer shell of that seed. Yet the inner man is being renewed day by day, being resurrected day by day.
Amen. And then it's going to bear fruit in it.
Yeah.
Amen. It's going to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. That bean is. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, this old man, this flesh. Ugh. Go. Thank you, Lord.
In the whole parable of the sower and seed, of course, the message is the can y'all hear me? Y'all not having trouble. That seed, I can't do its transformation work in the wrong type of environment, can it? If it's on rocky ground, we talked about that, it can't get roots in itself. It can't get any water. And it's going to die. And if it falls in bad soil, or it's snatched up by a bird, it ain't going to bear fruit. And falls on any kind of bad soil, it's not going to sprout. It might sprout, but if it don't get water, it ain't going to bear fruit. It's going to die. And washing walk with the water of the word, you know. And what is the soil that we have? That's the receptiveness of our heart to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Will, did you have something? Okay. All right, where did we end off at? The rocky soil? The thorny soil, right? That's where we are. Okay. Anybody want to talk about the rocky soil? I'm sorry, the thorny soil. Which is it? The thorny soil. That's the third soil, the thorny soil. Let's see what it says here. Anybody want to read that for me while I get this thing up?
Denny, are you reading? We can't hear you.
Yeah, there you are, Denny.
Sorry. Yeah, 13:7. It just says, some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plant. That was in the today's English version. So okay. Growing up among the thorn bushes, as it grew up, they choked the plant.
Okay. I'm going to read Mark's version, chapter 4 and verse 18. And others are they that are sown among the thorns. These are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What does that mean? What kind of man is that? These are the ones that have heard the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Who is that guy? Go ahead, Leon.
He's an apostate. That's everybody that's in, well, not everybody, but that's a majority of the people that are in the church today.
And what does that make, how does that make them this part?
How does that make him what?
A part of the thorny bunch.
Well, no, the thorns choke out the...
Is that the thorny?
The thorns choke out the weed, or the fruit of the thing you planted. The wheat or whatever it is, it chokes it out.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew. Amen.
This guy's double-minded. He's got his 1 foot in the world and half a foot in heaven.
Amen.
I think he's double-minded.
Amen. I do too. Go ahead, Judy.
I was thinking long lines of prosperity-minded people, prosperity gospel people. Who cares the riches of the world and
amen. I think we lost your audio.
I wasn't talking. Sorry.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The riches, they delight in riches and choke the word and prove themselves unfruitful. A lot of distractions of worldly things, whatever that might entail, other, you know, idolatry or... I was just thinking the prosperity gospel, not losing their life. Just want to share
amen.
That.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, Dave, I believe you had your hand up.
Yeah, I struggle with this. Not that I'm worldly in any way. I'm not trying to be, but just I have to work a lot just to keep the family going, and you know, take care of their needs. And sometimes I feel like I get part of that thorn crowd because it just the pressures of things around me to take care of, being the almost the sole provider of the family all the time. It just kind of works on you, you know. You don't want to have to deal with that, but you just gotta take care of business. So it feels like the thorns of life sometimes are surrounding me and try to choke it out just because of my responsibilities of being the the guy that takes care of everything. Financially in the house, as far as bringing home what everybody needs to take care of, so I can get them on the road in their life. You know, I don't want to be there, but I am sometimes. You know, it's not much of a choice. It's not something I planned on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Wade. I was muted.
Okay. I was thinking you might have been looking for lukewarm.
Okay. Go ahead.
The people who are choked by the thorn, lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Is that what you said? Lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's them. That's some of them. Sure is. All right, Tim, go ahead, brother.
This came to me as I was reading it in Luke, but the choke could be like you talk about the spirit as life and breath, and if you're physically choked, it'd be restricting the spirit flowing into and out of your being, and I was thinking of it in the physical choking as. You know, you're not getting the breath of life and spirit because you're not focused on the important things.
Amen. Do you have your hand up, Patrick? Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right, anybody else? Oh, there you are, Pat. Okay.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't have my hand up.
Okay. All right. Anyone else on the thorny ground? Go ahead, Andrew. Oh, my. Go ahead, Julie.
I think that we're all tried with that of the delight in riches of the world and the cares of the world and all the things of the world that want to draw us away from spending time with God, but we don't have to give in to that. The way my version reads this is that it proves unfruitful. Is because they give in. People who give in to those cares of the world, or the riches of this world, or the they like the, you know, the entertainment, the stuff of the world, that they don't fight to get into the world or get into the word. And it proves to be unfruitful. In other words, they have the opportunity. We're all given the opportunity to bear fruit, but this soil doesn't bear fruit. It proves itself not to be fruitful because it was choked by the other things. So, you know, we all have responsibilities and jobs and things that we have to do, and as long as we're doing those things we're supposed to be doing, but yet we're still chasing after the Lord and making time, making Him number one. It's like we're gonna prove to be fruitful. I just wanted to just make that point that we're all being tried by the things of this world. It's everywhere. We live in Babylon. We live in one of the richest countries in the world, and there's always things that are going to try to, you know, draw us away. It's a fight. We all have to go through that. So, but we are bearing good fruit, or we wouldn't still be here.
So. Ah, amen. There's a hit that I was looking for, a word that said, and let's see, it's Hebrews 12 and 4. Hebrews 12 and 4. 12 and 4. Listen to this. When I say, that I don't have any time for the word. I seem to my time is just giving up on me. Hebrews 12:4 always comes to my mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, I take that literally. And by that, I mean, do I sacrifice my time to get in the Word so that I can bear the fruit of Christ in my life? Or do I just let it slide on by? And I'm not trying to get on anybody or anything. I'm just telling you what I've found in my life to make me want to get in the Word. Have I done that? Have I resisted unto blood? Have I prayed like Jesus did? You know, that's my prayer time. Have I prayed like Jesus did, with blood coming out of his forehead or his face? Have I prayed that much? Have I prayed that type of prayer? Do I resist sin unto blood? Striving against sin unto blood. In other words, is it a sacrifice to me to overcome with Jesus' help this world and the things that it offers, you know? What's important to me now is a new motorcycle, like, you know, David was talking about when he came to the Bible, came to the Word. He said his motorcycle went to the side, his racing car went to the side, his racing motorcycle, his custom this, his custom that, you know, all of that stuff went to, he even had a bunch of hash up in his hidey hole, you know, that he hadn't touched in 6 months, he said, because he was in the Word. He was striving against sin and resisting unto blood. The world didn't mean anything after he got in the Word, and that's the way we got to be. The world didn't mean anything to Jesus. He twice went into the church there and whacked out all the sinners that were selling stuff inside the church. I should have told those people that are out there in the denominational world that are selling stuff in their churches, selling the gospel, when he said, you have received it free, why are you selling it? You know, I'm just saying. I had a guy one time as a preacher. He's a good friend of mine there for a while. Good friend of mine. And he had a guy get up in the congregation and curse the congregation for not giving enough money. Cursed him. And I had the opportunity the next night in my Bible study to uncurse it. And I told him, I said, no, you're not under the curse. You're not under the law. You don't do what man tells you to do. And he called me into his office. He said, where do you get these things? I said, I got it right out of the Word. I said, if the guy that had told you about what I preached about had given you the verses that I had given, you'd know. He said, well, how is a church supposed to pay its bills? I said, what happened to faith? What happened to faith? We're supposed to live by faith, Jim. He said, well, I don't know anything about that. All I know is I'm going to shut you down. I said, no, you might move me, but you're not going to shut God's Word down. And we left it at that. We became friends. I came by and I did apologize to him for getting his church all messed out of his deal. You know, I didn't want him to have any bad thoughts about me. But anyway, that's what we have to do. We have to go with God's Word more than we have to go to the world. you believe God's word more than you do the world, you're going to be victorious every time, I guarantee you. You might not think so at the time, but I guarantee you stick with it, endure in your faith to the end, you're going to see it happen. When I came here, I left my family behind because they didn't want to come where God had called us. And I'll tell you something else. I'm glad I did. I have been blessed, Lord of God. I have been blessed. I've been through some trials that would, if it hadn't been for God, I'd have died. Because I tell you, that's how heartbroken I was. I have been. And it's only for one thing. It's for God. It's for Jesus. Only for him. It ain't for me. It ain't for anybody else but Jesus that we go through this life that we're in. I don't have to have a big, fine truck anymore. I don't have to have a big, fine home anymore. I do live in a nice, fine home here, but God furnished it. I didn't do it. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't have to have the things that I used to have. I used to have a shop full of tools. God took all that away from me. Every bit of it. I love to get out there in that shop. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I used to get out there, and that's the reason I bought that place. Had a big old 1,500 square foot metal building that was insulated. But God called. Let me get off this. I ain't nothing. It's just God. It's all I want, just Jesus. I just want Jesus' heart. I just want the love of God in my heart for. And he's doing it. He's working in all of us. He's working in everyone. Y'all got the same kind of story somewhere down the line there, telling the same type of thing. I'm not telling you anything that none of you haven't gone through. Probably worse than I have, which is good. Because I don't care nothing about going through worse things, y'all. But God puts it through for one thing, and that's to mature us, to humble us. Amen. Okay, let's get back on the parable again. I guess it is part of the parable.
Pat had his hand up.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Michael, would you mind just sharing for a few minutes how you came to the Lord and a kind of your, since you started it, but I don't really know your background that much as far as, you know, when you met the Lord and kind of a brief synopsis of your history.
Okay.
Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. I don't mind. It was a long time ago in a far, far, far place away from here. No, it was 1997. I worked in a large manufacturing plant as an electrical supervisor, maintenance supervisor. I took care of all the electrical and the PLCs. I was changing their equipment, their large equipment, from relay logic to PLCs, which is programmable logical controllers, which are computers. And one of the supervisors on the shift that I was on was a Baptist boy. And he was one armed. He had a wreck and lost his arm. And he and I got to be real good friends. And we get in there and we talk eschatology. And he was amazed that I knew a little bit about it. Well, the reason I did is because I was fascinated with it. I had read Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth way back when, you know. And we were talking about it. And he would ask me some questions about it, and I'd tell him what I thought, you know. And then he kept bugging me about going to church with him. I said, Bill, I don't care anything about going to church, you know. I don't care anything about going in there and listening to all that garbage. And he kept on. I said, just to satisfy him, get him off my back. Now, I'll tell you what I was doing at the time, Pat. I was drinking probably a case and a half a week, you know, on the weekends, and just doing my little tinkering out there in the shop, what have you. But and that's pretty much my life, you know. and I had my kids, and we'd take them places and all that kind of stuff. But he kept bugging me, and I said, okay, Bill. I said, I'll be over there. He said, well, I said, we're kind of in a thing here. I said, the church is in a remodeling. So they're remodeling. Said they're going to have the fellowship in the, some other part of the church. I said, okay, I'll be over there. So I went that Sunday, and I kind of enjoyed what the preacher was talking about. He was a young guy, younger, a little bit younger than I was at the time. He was probably 40, and I was, at the time, 50 years old. And he was kind of fiery at times. And I think it was the third or fourth time I went, the Lord just got a hold of me. He had a message, Mitch Tyson was his name. He had a message that just stuck with me and asked if anybody wanted to come up there. And the Lord worked in my heart, and I went up there and had him pray over me about, as they say, receiving Jesus in your heart and all of that kind of stuff, which is fine, you know, it got me saved. And then I got baptized, and then my wife followed suit. And then one time, they made me a, right away, they made me a Sunday school teacher of the little kids, of all things. You know, somebody just came out of a pagan background and made me a Sunday school teacher. But they got the little booklets that you can go buy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Made me a teacher. And so I did that for a little while, and I was in Mardell's bookstore, which is a Christian bookstore in Little Rock, one time during that period of time. For a few weeks, I was saved. And this short guy with a beard, a white beard, about my age at the time, came by, and I was in the Holy Spirit section. And I was looking at some of those books, and he said, man, this is a good section, isn't it? And he had an arm full of books. I said, I guess. And then he looked at me and he asked me, he said, anything wrong with you? I said, I thought that's kind of a strange question to ask me. But I told him, I said, what are you talking about? He said, anything physically wrong with you? I said, well, and my wife, she was right there with me, and she said, yeah. I said, he was diagnosed with a rotating cuff problem, and they're going to have to operate on his shoulder, which was just a few days before, and they were trying to get me scheduled up to do the operation. And by the way, my brother, my older brother, about the same time was going to get his fixed too by the surgeons. And he said, you want me to pray for you? Thinking like I was, like the good Baptist boy that I was at the time, you know, not knowing any better. I'm thinking he going to go home, get in his closet, and he going to pray, you know. No. He told Jeanette, he said, put your hand on his shoulder. And I said, you going to pray for me right here in this book store, in the store? He said, you want to get healed, don't you? I said, go for it, brother. Go for it. And so Jeanette put her hand on me, and Courtney, my youngest daughter, put her hand up there too. She was, at the time, she wasn't but about 10. And all he said was, I command that shoulder to be healed in the name of Jesus. He said, now do something you couldn't do. I said, well, I couldn't scratch the back of my head. And it wasn't no pain. I did that. Then I said, I couldn't do that either. Man, I started rolling my hand. I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. This is awesome. He said, quit saying that. Don't say that. Don't say that you can't believe it. Just believe it. I said, what's your name? What's your address? Where are you going to be next weekend? Because I want to be right behind you. I want to find out what you know that I don't know. And I followed him around for about 8 months in the Mid-South. And we saw miracles after miracles after miracles. I said, what is going on here? Them people at that church was telling me God don't heal anymore. Or if he does, it's because it's his will to do it right then, you know. And so I saw all that, and I began to question, what am I doing in a church that don't believe the Bible? And then I had a vision. I can't remember if it was a vision. It was very vivid. I was in that church sanctuary, that Baptist church sanctuary, and the people were lined up around the walls of that sanctuary. Nobody was sitting down in the sanctuary. They were lined up in the walls waiting on the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit came and just everybody wiped out on the floor. The Spirit of God came on that place. And I said, my. You reckon that's going to happen in that Baptist church? And so a little while longer, a little while later, I met another preacher in town that was starting a church. It was a Pentecostal church. It was a Church of God preacher, and he was a musician, a great musician. He'd been on TV and all that kind of stuff. And he played the keyboard. He could play any kind of instrument you wanted him to play. I mean, he was good at all of them. And I went over there. Somebody said, you need to go over there and go to one of his services. So I went over there. The best praise and worship I'd ever heard, man. I'm telling you, I just had a great time. And the Lord told me, he said, this is where I want you for right here. I said, oh, how am I going to get out of this? I've got to teach them kids, you know, and all this kind of thinking like that, like I should. And so the Lord told me, he said, just go back and tell the pastor what you've seen on the streets, what you've seen in your vision, and see what he said. And so I did. I went back and I said, Mitch, I said, I want to talk to you. He said, well, come on in, bro. I went in, sat down. I told him, I said, I have seen these miracles. And I told him some of the miracles that I had seen, great miracles and that God had done on the streets of Memphis, of Little Rock, of West Memphis, of Conway, North Little Rock, Newport, all over the Mid-South. And told him that, and then I said, I'll tell you what, I want to ask you a question. I had a vision about this church, and I told him that vision. I said, is this somewhere you're going to take this church? And you know what he told me? I told you this before, I think. I told him that, and he said, Michael, he said, I believe every word you told me is the truth. He said, but that's just not my ministry. I never will forget those words. That's just not my ministry. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? You're denying the power of God. I didn't tell him that. I just said, okay. I said, I'm going to leave. I've been called out of here. He said, I kind of figured that. I said, do you want me to wait until you can find somebody to take my place? He said, no. He said, why don't you just go on? And so I went on, and I stayed with the I wasn't there but just a few months at that Baptist church. Then I went to House's church, Larry House's church, and it's Church of God. It was in an old building. But, boy, we had some great times in that old building. And he got into false revival. I did tell you, I didn't know any better, you know. Got involved with that. We saw Rodney Howard Brown's little brother, his younger brother. He was little. He's big as Rodney Howard. Well, I can't even remember his name. It was one of them Howard Brown boys. But anyway, got mixed up with him, and I saw all that stuff happening up there. People falling out of the pews and laughing and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I told Larry, I said, we're not seeing anybody healed. We're not seeing anybody come to the Jesus. All I'm seeing is people going up there and throwing money at him and then falling out of the pews and laughing. You know, I did it first. I said, well, what is good is this? You know, and I got to question it myself. I said, what is going on here? This don't look right for me. Anyway, to make a long story short, the Lord shut that church down. And we saw a lot of miracles in there. That's place there. He didn't know anything about healing or anything either, but the Lord had me take him around with us, and we saw some healings in his church. People come up there, get healed and delivered and set free. And I left that church, and I was out there, just out there. I went to, as a matter of fact, the Lord after a few months, sent me to a Baptist church, another Baptist church. I said, Lord, I just came out of one of them crazy churches. I don't want to go back. He said, I want you to go there and teach faith. I said, okay. And I was probably 3 or 4 years in the Word. But I had just all things on faith. I got into Kenneth Hagin and Mr. Summerall, Lester Summerall, and all of those Word of Faith people. And I was always building my faith up. I was trying to get, you know, to the point to where I knew that I knew that I knew when I put my hand on somebody, somebody going to get healed, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I love to see people get freed up from the misery that they in, you know. And I guess that's why God has had me in that ministry for a long time. Anyway, I went to that Baptist church, and I was the pastor there right away put me to preaching faith on Wednesday night, of all things. And, man, we had some services. Glory to God. Now, what he would do, he'd go lock himself up in his office back there while I talked, which is okay with me, you know, because I could give me free reign. And then somebody came up to me in that church and asked me, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? I had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was in that Church of God church. And I said, I know a little bit. She said, could you teach us? I said, yeah. I said, but we don't need to do it here. We need to do it off the site here at somebody's house, you know. I didn't want to interfere with his. So we did. And people started getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the participants told the pastor what was going on and did some lying too, you know, said that we were acting stupid and all that kind of stuff. Of course, she just didn't understand. And anyway, he shut that down and said that, and then he got up there and in the pulpit and preached against me and without even coming to me, never came to me. And, anyway, I had to leave that church, and then I was just out there. And then I about that time that I came into David's teaching in about 2005, I believe, six, somewhere. I think it was 2005 that I came into David's teaching, you know, by accident. How many of you know there ain't no accidents? By accident. Like I said, I enjoyed reading eschatology and studying eschatology. And I ran on to Stan Johnson's site. What is it? Where David was teaching Hidden Manna, America's Last Days.
Prophecy
Club. Prophecy Club. And David teaching Hidden Manna. And that was, you know, that was just amazing to me. Because I knew the scriptures, I just couldn't put them in place. I couldn't get them in the right order, you know. And I knew that pre-tribulation rapture was wrong because I saw too many scriptures in there that taught against it. But I didn't know how to explain it to anybody until I met David. And from then on, you know, pretty much the rest of the story. There for about, I had a conference call on, even back in Arkansas, I had a conference call regionally of people, and they'd come on and we'd talk about teaching, we'd teach about the healing and what have you, and let them, kind of like what we're doing now, you know, we'd all just fellowship. And Paul Rimmel had one over in Alabama. And David knew both of us, and he got us both hooked up together. And Paul came up to Arkansas one time, also fed the homeless out in Little Rock every weekend. Had a large group that would come out there, and I'd feed them. Deer meat, mostly. I was hooked up with the U.S. Game, or the Arkansas Game and Fish. And during deer season, they'd give me anywhere from 600 to 1,200 pounds of deer meat every year. and I would distribute it out to the food banks around locally. And then whatever was left, I'd keep and feed to the homeless people out on the streets. You know, I'd make deer chili, just all kinds of good stuff. And they loved it, man, I tell you what. And then we got to minister to them. And Paul came up. I told him, I said, come on up here this weekend. I said, I'm going to have me a little shindig out there in the middle of the bad part of town in Little Rock. I said, you can come help me. I might need some backup. And so he came up. And sure enough, we had a if you've ever done anything like that, you always get the druggies coming around, you know, wanting something to eat. But this one boy, his name was Bone. And Bone came up there. You didn't know if he's going to be drugged up or straight. When he was straight, he was the sweetest guy. He was the sweetest guy. But when he was drugged up, he was demonized. And he came up there and he started trouble with people. And I said, Bone, sit down over there and be quiet, please. And then he jumped up in my face. I said, you need to sit down in the name of Jesus. And he backed up a little bit, and I said, now, you either shut up or I'm going to call the police. And I had made friends with the city police in that area. And one of them gave me his number. He said, if you're ever having trouble, he said, just give me a call. I said, okay. And so I called him. I said, you probably need to get on over here. I said, Bone's acting up. He's all drugged up. He said, all right, I'll be right there. And about the time I looked over there that the cops pulled up, Bone had picked up a chair, and he was fixing to whack somebody over the head with that thing. Paul's there looking. His eyes is about that big, you know. About the time he was going to hit him, that cop tackled him and took him to jail. He come back about 6 or 8 months later after serving a little time, and he apologized to me, which I thought was awesome, you know. I told him, I said, Bone, I don't hold nothing against you. I said, I know it was that old drug demon that you got. And anyway, from there, I hooked up with a couple, Jeff and Sandy Shaw, who are here now also, at a little church just about 4 miles down the road from my house. Somebody had said, you need to go over and see old Willie. And I did, and he wanted to open up a church, and I knew some people, so I helped him get that little building, rented that building, and we got that church fixed up, and he wanted to be the preacher, and I said, that's good, if that's what you want to do. We hooked up first with a tent. I got in a tent, and we went down. Lord told me to go to Cotton Plant, Arkansas. It's just a little small town, but it's where a famous 40s singer, black singer, I'm trying to think of her name, Sister, anyway, that's where she was from. And it's a very poor town. It's a farm town that all of these people that lived in this town, it was 90% farm workers at the time that had moved to town off the farm. And they didn't have a whole lot of money. And the Lord said, go down there and set them free. Help me. Said, help me to set them free. I said, I'll go down there and I'll be your vessel, Lord. You set them free. And anyway, we got that tent and I went down there. And God did some miracles down there, folks. He did some mighty miracles down there. And anyway, that's how I hooked up with Willie and Sandy and Jeff. And Jeff and Sandy wanted me to come over and do a Bible study with them. And we did. And I told them about UBM. And then we all got to fellowshipping together because we started reading a lot of stuff by David. And anyway, to make a long story short, we, in 2011, the Lord told us in February, I believe it was February the 23rd, He told us that we were coming to Tennessee, that he wanted us to move to Tennessee, that he had a work for us to do out here. Sandy and Jeff, too, and Tina at the time, and Sam. And I said, okay, Lord, when? He said, I'll let you know. And so in September of 2011, I called Sandy, and I said, what y'all doing? She said, we're loading up the truck to go to Tennessee. I said, what? I said, Lord hadn't told me to go. He said, he told us to go. I said, how can he let y'all go before I go? Because, you know, I'm thinking, naturally speaking, I'm thinking, you know, well, bless God, you know, I know a little boy. I knew David longer than you did, and here you going out there, you know, that kind of stupid reason. But what God was doing, he was sending them out here to have a place for me when I got out there. And they came out here about two or 3 weeks before I did. Got the place set up. All I had to do was bring my old self up there and park it. That's it. That's all I had to do. I brought the clothes on my back, came up here. When the Lord said go, I went. And I had told my wife back in February, I said, the Lord has called us to Tennessee. And she refused to come out here. I refused to believe that God would want me to come out here. And anyway, that's she's really coming around now, a lot better now than she used to be. But anyway, I had no contact with my family for about 8 months. They didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to do nothing but just rail at me. Anyway, but God blessed me. God blessed me. Because I started learning stuff out here. I started learning that you got to be meek. You got to be humble. And I started getting in the Word a lot more, because when you're around people of like-minded passion for the Lord, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn humbleness. You're going to learn how to get rid of the flesh, because they're doing the same thing. You know, you go there, you say, I'm going to teach these folks something, you know. I'm going to show them something, you know. No, God's got you there in boot camp. And when you come here, you think that you're going to help immediately. All God wants you to do is to die to flesh. That's what he's telling me. You know, I just want you to die to flesh. I don't want you to do nothing. I don't want you to be nobody. I just want you to die to the flesh and get rid of Michael so that I can work in you. And it's taken 6 long years, almost 7 now. And he's gotten a little rid of a little bit of the flesh, praise God. But there's still some more there. And that's where I am now, Pat. That's kind of it in a nutshell. And that's been 21 years now that I've followed the Lord. I'm this kind of person. I've always been this kind of person. When I have a passion for something, I go whole hard out for it. And when I was drinking and partying and all this, I went whole hard out for it, you know. But when I came to the Lord, I did the same thing. I didn't do drugs. I never did do drugs. I smoked weed back after I got out of the Navy for a little bit, not much. I didn't know anything about it until I went in the Navy. Boys from Chicago, Leon showed me. But anyway, that's pretty much it. And the Lord, the one thing that the Lord has taught me since I've been here is that I'm a servant of God's people. I'm not a Lord, I'm a servant. And I do whatever needs to be done to help the brothers and the sisters. And that's it. Is there any question?
No, I just appreciate I appreciate your testimony there. It's interesting when listening to as you spoke about many things through there, through your history and how the Lord led you and everything. I can see connections and that where you know you said something and said, oh yeah, that's the Lord did that with me as well, you know. And I suspect many of us can probably do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord, even though we come through our own path, we all have the same spirit and spirit desire. It's like you said, I can't remember what it was right now, but I just remember thinking, you know, listening to your story and hearing, you know, connection points there all the way through. So it's pretty cool. I appreciate that.
One thing that I've done from day one, and somebody taught me this, I can't even remember who it might have been, Bill, but anyway, he taught me early on. He said, always pray that you won't be deceived, that God would not allow you to be deceived. And he's done it. He got me out of the Baptist church. He got me out of the Pentecostal church. He got me out of the Baptist church again. He got me out of another church, a Pentecostal church. And then he just set me out there. And, you know, he said, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want to teach you now. You've already experienced all that schooling. Now, just don't worry about it anymore. He said, I'm going to teach you. And he did it through David's books. He did it through David's books.
Amen.
And I'm still learning through David's books, you know, and the Word of God. David is not the end result. And you, from there, he points you the way. Okay. Then you get in the Word and you start seeing those things because he's got you understanding that God is sovereign. Amen.
Was that Curry Blake you're running around with?
I ran around with Curry for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I did. No, it wasn't Curry that I did back then. His name was James Bogle. He was actually an evangelist for what's the guy in the white suit? Benny Hinn. He was one of his evangelists for a long time, but he quit him. No, I knew Curry. I had him up to Arkansas 2 or 3 times, and I was actually, he had made me something in Arkansas, I forget what it was, what he called him. And he had ordained me into his organization, Curry Blake's John G. Lake Ministries. And one day I was in Searcy, Arkansas. This will be real quick. The Lord spoke to me at night. He said, I want you to send your ordination papers back to Curry. I said, what? I've never heard of that. He said, no, I want you to send them back. I said, why, Lord? He said, it's not your business. Why? I just want you to do it. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And so I did. And Curry called me. He said, what's going on here, Michael? I said, Curry, I don't know nothing. All I know is the Lord said to send it back to you. He said, okay, I'll accept that. And it may be even like Curry that much more. He didn't give me a whole lot of arguments. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's, and you know, I've only talked with him once since then. The Lord just kind of took him out. Anyway, we're just about out of time here. I'm sorry I took so much time there. Please forgive me. Go ahead, Pat.
Just a quick question. Has anything happened that you can tell the difference, or was there any result to that, you giving that your ordination papers back in Curry's life?
Yeah, I know why, but I'm not going to I'm not going to go into it. That's God's business. That's not mine. I don't mess with that kind of stuff.
I think Joe had a question.
Do what?
No, I just wanted to say this is encouraging. Maybe this is what God wanted to do tonight, it sounds like. It encouraged some of us, but I feel a lot more encouraged because I like to listen to how God moves everything in together, you know, moves everything into place like he did. You know, I've heard it from David's side, and now I kind of hear it from your side. So, I mean, it's just encouraging how he's moving everything into place and what he's done in your life and others, you know. And so and like you said, it's no accident. It's absolutely no accident that we came upon these teachings, you know, or let's just say, you know, the Word of God, you know, because I looked at that and I found just, you know, this past year I've kind of come back to it and I'm thinking, you know, it's no accident. So,
amen. Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for everybody's testimony because it all comes straight from you, Father. You've brought us out of the sandbox into the elementary school, and then to middle school, and then to high school, and now you've brought us, you're getting us, you're trying to get us ready for that doctor's degree. Praise God. And Lord, I thank you that you are maturing us. You know, Lord, I can't express my love for these people here. It's just awesome to be able to fellowship with all of them, Lord, because you've placed that love. You know how I was before, but you've placed that love in my heart for them, Lord, and I thank you for it. Every one of them, Father, and I thank you for it, Lord. Just place it in my heart to keep on praying for them, Father, and them praying for everybody too, Lord. And I thank you for it. Be with us this weekend. Let us all have a great time with you, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, for your anointing upon each and every one of them to be bold in the Lord and have great faith to believe your promises and to have that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit working in everybody's life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Protect us, provide for us until we see each other again, Lord, whether it be next Tuesday night or in glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Amen. All right.
All right. I got everybody unmuted. Good night.
Everyone. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Enjoy the.
Good night, everyone.
Amen. Good night.
Thanks for sharing, Michael.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Missy. See you.
That was
later.
It was me. That's okay.
Who was that? Is that you, Julie?
It was just me.
All right.
God bless you.
Just
Michael.
Me. God bless you too, girl.
Amen.
God bless everybody. Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
All right, good night. God bless.
Good night, Barbara.
Sure. Good night. God bless.
All right, okay. God bless.
Good night, Debbie God and Danny. We'll see y'all.
Good night. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. I think I'm going to come down myself. So.
When are you coming down, bud?
I figure I'll come down in like, 2 weeks towards the end of the month. You know, like I think, like I said last time I was down, I want to try to make once a month just to kind of fellowship and, whatever else.
Okay. That sounds
Amen.
Good. Come on.
Amen.
We'll see you then.
God bless,
Just
brother.
Keep me posted.
Okay. Sounds good. God bless.
All right. Good night.
Good night.